what we'll call the opposition. There's some things that have to be known. Rick threw a monkey wrench into the entire statute of limitations not being allowed to expire. See, if you only could go back in on the basis of the last set of documents that George Green sent around a month ago, it isn't enough. But you see, George has never stopped playing his game. On the other hand, because of the intricacies involved, other things have continued also. And because of the stripping of the bank account, you start going back to look at these bills. And my goodness, it is a real surpriser, isn't it, Rick? Rick's been comparing some bills. Because, you see, Mr. Tips was trying to get books released from Mr. Buchanan from US&P while he was supposed to be serving the Eckers. There was no waiver signed by the Eckers that he could do that. And meanwhile, George has billed Rick over $80,000 for the books, meaning he fully intended to sell them.
February 25th, 1996.
Thank you, Nancy. Now, see, there are just a continuation of ridiculous filings going into those Nevada courts. And whether the judge or, you know, getting to visit with these guys after hours or not is a hypothetical question. On the other hand, if you're in a little town smaller than Tehachapi, or at least not much bigger, and you are the legal club, don't you think they get mentioned? Well, don't you think those judges might be curious, and this is the biggest thing to happen to Minden, Nevada, in years and years? So what are they going to do now? At some point, they're supposed to make a decision. On the other hand, Brad Ellie told us a little tale about some justice who didn't make a decision for 25 years. Because there's no law that says you got to make a decision. Nevada's very loosey-goosey. On the other hand, Nevada, being better than California, goes by federal laws. So if you have to go to court in Nevada, you're very often facing the feds' laws. So this was the discussion. We would have to have this at some point. We could have it on a Monday afternoon, or we can have it now. But it's going to hit right between the eyes. And it's going to hit Gene harder than anybody, because this is the game they're playing. This is the foundation now. And you have to listen back to what was said in some of these court cases. Horton got up and argued to the Supreme Court that George Green handled this money just like he did all the other. Actually, it was the gold coins. And he handled them just like all the other he got. What does that mean? It means how much did he have, right? Oh, my. It's...
Commander, it didn't seem to faze Gene last time this was brought up.
Wouldn't it be nice if he absolutely knew nothing of it and he could muster his strength to go against them? And that's a decision he'll eventually have to take, because they are going to blackmail him. They already have. It's just that they are going to set him up the minute that we come with a statement about this.
Could we possibly have a smaller meeting of interested people on this later on this week or
certainly,
sometime.
Certainly, and he'll
be
back.
I'd like to request that.
All right. Yes, certainly. I had to bring it up today. I truly have some limitations of my own. I had to bring it up. I had to make a statement so that all of you would know about Dave. I honor Dave Overton as a brother and a friend, and he struggled to make this right. And yet the people that have been friends of his for years and years and years happened to be the gold dealer that sold him the gold coins to start with. They are very, very close friends. And arrangements had been made with them to go back to Nevada the minute the coins were released from Judge Gamble, because the Supreme Court ordered the lower court's order to be honored. That meant that it would be handed down with the order, which did get done, back to Judge Gamble. But on the last day of the day of offering a reconsideration request, they entered a reconsideration request. So it's still tangled up in the Supreme Court. But all of the coins were not going to be dashed out here to you guys. They were going to be handled properly according to Dave's more recent instructions on handling that and go back to the coin dealer. These were his very close friends. He had a lot of bills and things toward the end there, and his wills got to be sorted out. There are many, many things pending, and I just didn't want to keep it from you any longer, because Dave was a dear, dear friend, and I want him honored, and I will go on record this day. When we have our law center going and our institute, there will be a building dedicated to Dave Overton. And maybe we'll plate it in gold. Bless his heart.
Hi, Dave.
We'll acknowledge that.
He's a lot happier to be on your side.
Yes. He was pretty much of a zombie the last little while, but never, never not sharp. Never. He knew exactly what he wanted, and he knew what he wanted to the point that finally the ones trying to get the stuff from him down there backed off. He said, I know what I want. I want it done. What else do we have to talk about? I want to share something. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity. This is really changing to something positive. But we've kind of sent out word that on Larry King Live on Wednesday evening would be Christopher Reeve. I want him in Seepapoo. And I asked Dorma to tape it so that we could share it together. This is the kind of man you need. And as he is recovering right now, we could film Seepapoo with him in the lead role without having to even blink an eye. We could go back and film the first and physical part at the end when he's back on his feet, or take from old file tapes, or just have stand-ins. He can't sit up on his own, but you will notice that he can be propped up. He's learned to talk with his ventilator so that you hardly notice. And these are the healthy things for us to have to consider, although you have to consider these negative things. You can't let him go. This is what your enemy wants you to do, is just let everything go. Just be happy. These things make me very upset, so I'm not thinking about them. Well, then it becomes like John. Well, why didn't somebody do something? Well, I asked John, why don't you do something? Well, I can't do anything. I don't know. Well,
I was sick.
That's a cop.
Okay.
Okay. But the rest of us don't know either, John. The rest don't know either. Do you hear me? How are we going to know? We've got to learn, don't we? I can keep you from just going off the and falling off the cliff by having somebody who will listen to me. do something, to take some stop action. But I can't make you guys do anything. I can't make you go home and study a law book. You wouldn't know where to look. Dorma worked for the Attorney General of Utah for years. And she had forgotten how to use a law library. These two go into the law library in the courthouse, and my God, it's like a foreign land. But there are people in there that will help you. And it isn't easy, and it isn't fun. But when you start seeing that you can take control of your lives, it becomes a challenge that is interesting. And in that interest, it becomes fun. You can play chess, you can play checkers, you can play Monopoly. It is nothing, people, like the real game. And all of you have an interest. It isn't just somebody who put their money in from Florida that has an interest. You have an interest. And we know you don't know how. So we rely on Gene to teach us how. To run past him these ideas. And I'm not going to say that Gene chose bad ideas. I don't think any lawyer knows all the answers.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that we're going to be mad at Gene. We have to tell him what's coming out, because we have to face it first, then we face it together, and then maybe we can get a real team going. I hope that he will understand how dastardly those people have been. And I hope, if it should work out, that they are truthful, that he has not wasted these years here with us. Because I believe that Gene needed our friendship. But I want us to, this afternoon, share this Christopher Reeve program. It won't take too long. It was only an hour, and we've cut out the interruptions. And then I want each of you to be thinking about, how did we get to this man? He doesn't want any more wheelchair rolls to get sympathy. He doesn't need any more. But he needs to make a statement. And we have the vehicle. We just need to make some connections. And then we need to, each one, consider some of the possibilities. And it's like you asked about Rod. We're not going to go and strip Rod Ince of anything. But you do not have the privilege of running corporations and just, oh, well. You do not have the privilege of running businesses that way. Oh, well, doesn't cut it. We have to do our business. You have to, if you're going to even write off money on your income tax form, you have to have tried to make a recovery. So you have to send out those collection notices. You probably have to bring some kind of a little civil action or a corporate action or something, so that you have proof that you didn't just let it go. It's one thing if you're dealing with a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand dollars, but any time you're getting up into $25,000 or more, you are on the hook. It was really fine for George Green to go around the country touting the Phoenix Institute. Until he got it in trouble. And he's going to dump it on all of anybody else that he can find. And I don't like blackmail. I don't like blackmail against someone who is trying to do the right thing. And I do know that Gene Dixon would like to do the right thing. So we'll have to let it unfold. And yes, I think we do need some private meetings about it so that you can speak without divulging your own privacy. That's the thing we try to teach with corporations. Not big, deep, dark, miserable secrets, but privacy. And that's what we're going to say about the three corporations in Cheriant. We did not divulge any of her private business. George Green spread it to the world. And that doesn't seem to upset her. So be it. Anyone want to add or ask or anything before we take a little break?
Commander?
Yes.
I could give a 2 or 3 minute update on the earthquake situation, if you want.
Well, I'm interested in an update. All of you should know that there was a pretty good size whacker in Mexico yesterday. So I would hope that you have something on that.
There's a series of quakes that have occurred over the last week that are alarming and important, and caused Art Bell on Friday night to have Charlie Watson on. Charlie Watson is a consulting geologist at the University of Reno who writes an excellent, excellent newsletter called Seismo Watch, which we have plugged in contact when it was new a couple years ago, and he was a guest for 3 hours on Art's show Friday night, because even Art Bell is now getting publicly irritated that the media is not talking about major earthquakes. And Charlie related a story just this past week of a major San Francisco newspaper calling him, one of the papers that carries his earthquake data in their Earthwatch page, and said, gee, can't you tone down your earthquake data? You know, we'd really like to see a few less earthquakes showing up on what you send us to publish in our paper. And Charlie said, not on your life. He said, there's too much going on right now where people are not being told the truth. He says, your choices are use my maps as I send them to you, or withdraw your newspaper as a subscriber to my service. So I wanted that on tape, because I think people should support people like Charlie Watson, because he is a good guy. The more I heard him on Art's show, the more I liked him, and the more he's a honest guy trying to get the truth out. Now, with that prelude, he was talking Friday night, and I've been monitoring since early in the week. There was, of course, a large earthquake in Indonesia early this week. Last Friday night is when it occurred, and it was an 8.0 officially called, and then it moved up to an 8.2. It was probably closer to a 9, because one entire island was devastated.
It was a little over 9.
Yes. I got it from good information in the right side of my head. So.
Is that right versus incorrect, or right versus left?
Right versus left.
As long as it comes up with the right answer.
Shall we say, from higher sources. And anyway, so we had a quake that started out reported as an 8, was allowed to go up to an 8.2 by Saturday, last Saturday. This is in Indonesia, down in the island area there of Indonesia. And then a curious thing happened on Monday. The quake was not reported much over the weekend in the news, on the major news media, but come Monday, the quake was now reported on the LA stations, and it was reported as a 7 magnitude quake. And instantly I thought, well, now this is a curious thing, because I've been watching it on the National Earthquake Information Center screens and data on the internet at an 8.0, which was conservative enough. But I thought, now how are the news media in LA going to explain this when everybody in the world can go on the internet and look at it and see that it's an 8? Well, so I pulled it up on the internet, and lo and behold, it's no longer on the internet. It had been deleted. In other words, if you think of a scrolling array of quakes where you have each new quake listed, eventually the size of the list gets long enough that you roll the earlier obsolete ones off the top of the list. Well, conveniently, by the time the LA stations were reporting the quake as a 7 in Indonesia and, quote, not having done too much damage, end of quote, at that point, when you pulled up on the internet, you found that the very oldest quake you could see was one after this 8 magnitude quake. Meaning they conveniently coordinated. This is no accident. This requires extreme coordination to knock a quake off of public access screens from the National Earthquake Information Center before you give the media the go-ahead to now blab about a Friday night quake on Monday as a 7 rather than an 8 or actually a 9.
Did you print that screen?
I had it when it was brand new, yes.
And you printed it?
Yep. So, I'll be more accurate about it. I had Callie print it for me because I was doing something else at the time. But I watched it all weekend. And as soon as I was going to print it just to do a confirmation and show everybody this, lo and behold, it was the last most quake to be taken off the screen. Now, today, the National Earthquake Information Center maps are all inaccessible. So I was about to print a world map because of a few other quakes I wanted to talk about, and I can't. We can't get into the NEIC right now. It's just the access is being denied. This happens when it's important. Now,
that's because Vandenberg launched a rocket with a satellite yesterday.
And of course, the shuttle went up on Thursday.
Yes. Well.
Or something.
Sort of.
Yeah.
You'll also notice that an Orion will have gone up too. But they were talking about the one from Vandenberg mostly.
Now, a few days ago, and I can't locate the magnitude on this, nor could Charlie Watson Friday night, there was a large quake in Peru, down in South America. So think of the one in Indonesia, think of the Pacific Plate, and think of a clock face. And so think of Indonesia around 7:30 on the clock face. And now the activity has shifted over to Peru, about 4 o'clock, 4:30 on the clock face, and it was a large quake. I don't know the magnitude. I know that from private sources, Charlie heard Friday night that there were 33-foot tsunamis that came crashing in and destroyed entire villages that were along the coastal areas of Peru. Now, that was Friday night. I mean, that was Friday night when I heard about the quake. I've not seen any indication of it, and what one would expect then is for that quake wave to start traveling up from South America towards Central America, up towards Mexico, and up towards Southern California. Now, after that, there's now a series of quakes that are in Oaxaca, O-A-X-A-C-A. I think it's Oxala. I don't know how you... O-A-X-A-C-A in Mexico. That's down in southern Mexico. Oaxaca, I guess. I don't know how you say that.
It's Oaxaca.
O-A-X-A-C-A, whatever it is. O-A-X-A-C-A down in southern Mexico, there's been a whole series of quakes, starting with a reported 6.8. And that 6.8 was, let's see, that was the 25th. So that was about 8 p.m., 7 p.m. last night, a 6.8 occurred. But there were, and since then, there have been about 15 in this lower area, and they're not small quakes. These are fours, fives, four and five magnitude aftershocks of this 6.8. Now that's southern Mexico, just about in Central America. And then there's also a series of quakes that just started up in Mexicali. Just now you're creeping up Mexican coast here now, just south of Los Angeles in San Diego. So if there is going to be major movement of the Pacific Plate due to this recent series of adjustments starting in Indonesia, one could expect this wave to continue to travel up the eastern side of the Pacific Plate, meaning from Peru up through Central America, up through northern Mexico, the way you're seeing quakes now from this southern Mexico City up through Mexicali and probably into Los Angeles within the next week. Now, there was also a message on Art Show Friday night from Gordon Michael Scallion. He called Art earlier in the day and said, the recent series of earthquakes in Indonesia, and when I say a quake in Indonesia at 8 or 9 magnitude, that's just the initial quake. There were so many aftershocks the next 2 days, I would guess an estimate that I saw of somewhere between 30 and 40 aftershocks, and they were threes, fours, and fives. So that area is shaking all the time. And Gordon Michael Scallion said that in his visions that, and according to the scenario he's been seeing, that as this series of quakes comes around and up the coast, he would expect moderate to major earthquake activity in along the California coast between early March and late April, and then major tectonic plate movement is how he put it, late April through May 10th. That's what he was saying. Now, that would be thoroughly consistent. I don't care about the time sequence or anything like that, but from a pure physics point of view, you have a hunk of material, a hunk of mass that's breaking loose and starting to move more in the northwesterly direction. So it's pretty obvious that as it tears, it's going to move on up the coast. Now, should there be a dampening of this current wave for reasons of higher order than we're led to understand or that I can see, then so be it. And that's, we should be thankful for the time that's given to the people of Los Angeles if that happens. Otherwise, the activity in Southern California, the activity around the Mojave Desert area, around Palm Springs is at extraordinary levels. I'm looking at maps two or three times a day now, and they are very active. And in fact, there were two faults that Commander commented on over a year ago to watch in LA. One of them was the Elysian Park fault, and the other was something called the Newport Inglewood fault. Both of those are in the downtown LA area under major metropolitan areas, and there has been a great increase in activity under both of those faults in the last 2 weeks. Now, that's preceding this wave of seismic activity that I'm talking about coming up the coast from Mexico. So if you have a land, Northridge is very active. So if you have a land mass that is, a seismic wave, pressure wave coming up the east side of the Pacific Plate, coming up our west coast now, and you already have a very high pressure situation primed and ready to go, you can guess as well as I can what is possible to happen without higher intervention at this time. And that's really all I have to say.
On a map, I don't know my geography real well. I know Yucca Valley hasn't quit. They're having 4.7 mods again.
Okay.
San Fernando Valley.
Yes.
Are those kind of all in the same?
No. Let's okay. Do you remember the maps that I showed you a long time ago where I drew a line from Santa Barbara in towards Lake Isabella and then another line from Lake Isabella down through the Salton Sea, which went down through Landers, Big Bear area in the Salton Sea and down into the Baja area of California, where that Baja Peninsula is. What Diane is talking about is along that line from Lake Isabella down through Big Bear and Landers, north of Barstow, and on that side of Palm Springs, what we'll call the Big Triangle, the Santa Barbara to Lake Isabella and down. That leg between Lake Isabella and the Salton, down through the Salton Sea, which goes through Big Bear and parts of Barstow and on down into the Baja Peninsula, that side of that triangle has been very, very active in the last 2 to 3 weeks.
You're going to find that whole area is undermined with lava. This is volcanic activity as much as anything that has been triggered. You see, your volcanic line will go all the way down south of the Salton Sea. And coming in from up near Mono Lake are the open fissures that have been radioactive or have become radioactive from all the testing in Nevada. So you've got a mess.
And in consistent with that, some of you may be aware that there were actual announcements on the radio and TV several days ago. I guess it was last weekend. I lose track of time anymore, but that there was a whole series of earthquakes, quite a big series, not large quakes, but many in the Mammoth area. And as a result, they made an announcement of kind of like a volcano alert, an official volcano alert. And this is related to what Commander's talking about, because that underground circulatory system that is connected actually through the Pacific Northwest and the Cascade Mountains, all the way up from there, comes down through Mono Lake and Mammoth, and comes on down as Commander's talking about there. So that whole area is getting more active as things heat up. You have bubbling going on underneath the ground, if you want to think of it that way. Now, so there is a lot of activity there, as Diane was saying, along that side, that line. But there is also in through Palm Springs, and on that smaller triangle is now becoming blurry, as opposed to a well-defined area, as I said, around Palm Springs. Now the quake activity is spreading out over a wider and wider area, meaning that the ground is fractured so much it's no longer following the original fault lines that are drawn on the actual earthquake maps. Now, I'm just trying to paint a picture that the level of pressure that is poised and waiting to be released is beyond belief down here in Southern California. And then when you look up along the San Andreas in Northern California, at what I call the triple junction point, where the Hayward and Calaveras faults come down from the East Bay of San Francisco and hit the San Andreas fault there a little bit south of Silicon Valley. That whole area has been more active in the last 4 to 6 weeks than you would normally see it in 4 to 6 months. There is so much slippage along that area, and that means that pressure is building for those faults up through that area. And so we have a very high state of alert, and the comment I made to somebody a week or so ago was that any geologist looking at this data could no longer look at this data and remain an atheist, because you couldn't see that much Earth activity and say, well, you could say, I don't understand why it hasn't gone yet. But you couldn't do that very long looking at the current data without coming to the conclusion there would have to be some higher force at work holding things from going. So I said, I don't think any geologist who's honestly looking at the data could be an atheist anymore, because there's no explanation for ice fishermen on ice that's 1/16 of an inch thick and they still haven't fallen in, except the higher explanation. So we should be thankful to whatever is responsible for holding off the catastrophes at this point, because, people should be thankful that they have the borrowed time that they have to consider their options down in the Los Angeles area and in the San Francisco area. They're not ready for what's going to let loose in those areas.
No, but the more that things don't happen and the more predictions that are made, look, the 19th came and went, the 22nd came and went, you didn't get a new currency, you didn't have the banks closed. And these are so easily manipulated by the controllers, and that it just happens, and then it doesn't happen, and so ones come along and make prediction right according to the plans that are laid forth. But you see, they're not so dumb as to not have several plans. And you can know they have the plans. All you have to do is watch Greenspan. So you're beyond meeting their predictions, as only revelation would be from God. Everybody has got to realize that prophecy is basically a rerun of what has happened, and memory comes back. And you know that as you move out here, and the instructions are written for an Armageddon and an apocalypse. So you have to know that everything is going to be done to the best of the Zionists. You see, we're working toward control of the world, and Zion is the world. So that's what makes a Zionist. It's not a godly term. So you've got all of this negative energy at work all the time, and they can only make it if they can fool you. There are so many things at play that I can't even dwell on one. And then we have to deal with these other, what I call mundane, little, trivial legal problems. And yet they're so big to our own unit as to have to be handled. And you're never going to be without the negative energies and the enemies among you. Whether they even intend to be or not, the moment they are crossed with their narrow little belief system, they're not going to open up to you so that you can change them. They have to not participate enough to not allow you in with your truth. You see, it's a lot easier to denounce Hatton and everything that's in the Phoenix Journal if you haven't read them. Once you've read them, you have nothing to denounce, because it's up to you and God, and that's all I tell you. And when it is reduced to that one common denominator, what in the world are you going to pick at us about? So you've got to pick all these other things. But I have a lot bigger problems, and they're going to have to be discussed. I wrote a little bit this morning, and then we just had to call a halt to it, and I was using the little thing about not using a hatchet, you know, to kill the mosquito on your friend's head. Or an axe. I mean, that can be, you know, and I noticed that quite a few of you have bloody brains, and the hatchet's still buried there. While your enemy, you know, just said, hey, let me just kill this mosquito. It's going to bite you. Well, Rick had an intelligent question regarding that. He said, well, after all of that, did you get the mosquito? Well, that's sort of like splitting hairs, Rick. But you do have something else coming into attention that is not unknown, but I'll bet you not two of you in this room have ever even heard of it. And that's the underground ancient caverns that the Smithsonian knows all about and were well written up in the early 1900s, investigated and found. They underlie the Grand Canyon. This is from whence came the recognition that Hopis and other Indian tribes come from the earth. They're birthed from the earth. And these underground cities, I'm talking about Egyptian-type cities under the ground. 9-10 foot mummies, and your ancient Indians are part of the Oriental races. And those are getting ready to pop up again. So when we talk about earthquakes, I can't attend just a little shaking along a California coast. We're talking about old Atlantis and these magnificent Peruvian-type underground cities. Where did these people go? What are the Nazca plane drawings? What are the Mojave, Colorado drawings? You're in a time of evolvement. And those are the things I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about whether or not Gene Dixon's on our side or theirs. Do you see that it doesn't matter in the overall change of a civilization? It doesn't matter a whit whether Gene's on their side or ours. If you're prepared, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't mean you have to kick him out or yourself out. But if people don't get off these shallow, little, trivial, my business things, you've got to change your attitude about everything. Until you can stop looking at your little things and yet allow every fragment to come into your consciousness so that you are prepared. Then you turn your attention to your brother. You see, I have trouble being interested in John's car or whatever money anything has cost anybody. I am so sick of your money that I can hardly stay in the presence. I am so sick of the triviality of humankind, because human is the higher universal beings out there, not in this room with you. And they've all experienced. And I know what a shallow, tiny, narrow little pathway you people primitively walk. And when you stop caring about that automobile or that pocket change or that whatever that you can get from your brother or get back from your brother or whatever, then you can turn your attention to these magnificent things of God and evolvement of planets. You can't know everything on this plane of experience, especially where they're keeping secrets from you. So just assume that secrets are being kept from you. And if you get distracted off into a direction of just picking amongst each other, I'll write you a nasty letter, you write me one back. Ignore them. If it's appropriate legally to acknowledge them, fine. To cover everything that may come against you in a court of law. Because regardless of whether you like it or not, you're going to be summoned into court more and more and more and more. But until you can stop the selfish focus on the me, you see, that you can judge societies and growth, evolvement of a being, an individual being. It will go through its infant stage of only me. I am the center of everybody's universe, you know. A baby becomes right good at requiring itself to be the center of the universe. It trains mommy and daddy. And sometimes that training never stops until it's completely out of control. And then you go on through life. But until you can bring this meanness out into you-ness, that's what you want me to do. You're not interested in my opinion, Hathans. You want to know what I can do to fix your problems. Well, you see, the minute you start asking me, how can I help you fix the problem, I can tell you, and you can either take it, deny it, or go off and focus back on your problems and be aggravated at me. But the minute you start asking for input in the right intent, you get it, don't you? You get it. And enough of you are asking that I am compelled, because of the call, to come here and discuss these very things we're talking about today. I have no alternative but to discuss them, because they're going to come and be dumped on you, and then you're going to say, well, where were you, sir? Well, I haven't been anywhere. I've wondered where some of you are. But it's true of every single individual in this room as it is of John. John can say, well, I was sick. Well, maybe all of us are a little bit sick. We stop thinking about ourselves and start wondering what we can do to make a contribution to this whole. And John may make his contribution actually by simply having a...